Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to thank each one of you for being a part of this fellowship so that I can have an opportunity to share God's word. Bob did a wonderful teaching Sunday on our expectations, and I think we all were so excited about that. And I thought I would follow up with another sharing on expectations, and I've titled this, Are You Expecting Enough? Did you ever hear Jesus warn people or advise them that they were asking for too much? I think we see from the Word of God that that is not the case. In the manifestations, God mentioned that we expose ourselves to God's Word, and what a wonderful thing that we just, every part of our life becomes a, we expose it to what God's Word and will is for us. A challenge in our prayer life is that we do not ask for enough. We do not take what God is willing to give. We do not give God an opportunity to prove His love and power towards us. And maybe I'm talking about myself, but I think it's kind of common that we just don't have the quite same expectations that God has. But we can get there. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, You do not have because you do not ask. Mm-hmm. And then the big one is Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to use the New King James for most of my verses tonight. But it says, Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He had me with whatever we can ask, he'll give us, but do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's God's expectation of how he wants to bless us. Are we ready for that? I think we are. I think we want to see God's plan for our lives. We want to see an abundance of grace and mercy and love. So how do we get there? Your expectations are a great principle in believing God. What are you expecting? Are you expecting to see signs, miracles, and wonders? We heard about that tonight. Mm-hmm. That we can do, we have the ability. Are you expecting to do it? Are you expecting great blessings, great favor on your life? On your family? Are you expecting a hungry soul to come your path, cross your path? Are you expecting prosperity and health? Freedom from the past failures or discouragements? I'm sure you're all probably saying, yes, please. Don't we all want that? We all want to see just God's will, His abundance. He wants to bless us so big. And he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a knowledge of him. So we expose ourselves to his word. I was talking to my sister Carol yesterday and her husband. They came out from New York to celebrate Easter. And he ended up having an open heart surgery and was in the hospital in ICU for 7 days. And I called her and she called me, and the doctor had just walked in and said, we're taking Vinny out of the ICU. She goes, I don't know if I'm ready, if I can, or I'm going to send him home, I think he said. And she said, I don't know if I'm ready for that. And I said, well, what have you been expecting? You've been expecting him to come home. God will provide the strength, and the family is there. So when we pray, expectation is, what we are expecting is very important. How do we expect more? In 1 Corinthians 9:10, it gives the analogy of the farmer. And it says, I'll just read this. It says, it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope shall be partakers of this hope, of his hope. The word hope connotes an expectation, not I hope it happens. Mm-hmm. That, which is probably the vernacular of today. But that's not what it was meant in biblical times. It was an expectation. So a lot of times when we see hope in the New Testament, we can substitute the word expectation. A farmer plants seeds and then waits expectantly for his harvest at the right time. Not the next day, right? No, there's a expectancy. He expects when he plants seeds of corn that he's going to get corn. He's not going to have blueberries come up, anything. There's an expectancy because everything has order. To expect something means that there is certainty that the event is going to happen. This is what believing is about. In Hebrews 11:1, if you want to turn there, I'm going to read to you the Amplified Version. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped, and I'm going to use expected, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. It's the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the five senses. That faith, that believing, that expectation is more real than what the five senses says. Mm-hmm. And that's something, and that's where we have to see that we are spiritual people. We're not just five senses. We've got to see with the eyes of God. God's got his eyes on us, and we've got to have our eyes on him and what he expects from us. In Hebrews 10:23, you can look at that as well. I'll also share the Amplified. It says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope. And the New King James says, but it's also used as faith. And we can use the word expectation. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our expectation without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Why can we expect a guarantee of what God says will come to pass? Because we know he's reliable, right? He's trustworthy. He's proven it. Psalm 27:14 says, wait, and I'm going to add in parentheses, with expectancy. You don't just wait in a rocking chair. You wait with the expectancy of action. On the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait with expectancy, I say, on the Lord. When we wait, we're expecting that he's got everything that we need and will provide for us. What is the greatest expectation we can have right now? The return of our Lord and Savior, right? Yes, we all agree to that. We all know. And have we gotten a message from him saying he's coming or anything? Except we have received his word. We speak in tongues. We know that he's coming back. And we're assured of that. And we have that expectation. So we're not just got a telescope out in the sky. We're moving around, using that Christ in us, acting as if he could come any moment. And see, that's part of that expectation. What is God expecting of us? Good question, right? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God has guaranteed us that when we call on him, he will answer. He wants us to fellowship with him, to enjoy that intimate fellowship. He wants us to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. He doesn't want us to call dear Creator or Sir, but there's an intimacy, a personal relationship. That's what Christianity is all about. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. We need to prove the word, trust it. And then let's look to Mark chapter 10. And this is kind of the part of the example of how we live with expectancy. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 46. And this is a story about blind Bartimaeus. So let's start in verse 46, Mark 10:46. Now they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples in a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now the history of there's a great history here. There are a couple lessons that we will learn from this short account is there's a certainty about identity. In the Roman Empire, during the time of Christ, it was common practice for the government to issue someone with blindness or an individual that was lame or an invalid an identification of a legal beggar. So if I was blind, I could legally beg because I had that condition. Many times that identification was literally a beggar's coat. This coat gave them the legal right to beg for money on a daily basis at the side of the road. So that's why blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road. He wasn't in the middle of town. He was sitting there, and he had the authorization to beg. That was his identity. But then he called out to Jesus, and he knew who Jesus was. He knew Jesus' identity. He didn't know, well, here's this man. But he said, the Son of David. Or I think some of the versions say the Messiah. He knew Jesus' identity, so he knew what to expect from that. So here he had heard that Jesus was coming, and he knew that he was the healer. So having identity is very important. He had been given the identity of a blind beggar by the world. This man was told by the world, here, wear this beggar's coat. This is who you are. The government has said that this is who you are, and nothing will ever change. But Jesus stopped and called to blind Bartimaeus. So he said, Jesus stood still, verse 49, and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Oh. And that was a tremendous action of his believing, his expectation that when he saw Jesus, he was going to be changed. Mm. So he threw off that garment, the identity of him being a blind man and a beggar, to go and get what he deserved. Isn't that awesome? And what is it? And we have to think about what we see. He throws off his coat. Why would Mark ever even mention such a thing? I believe it is simply to show us a powerful symbol of this man's faith, his expectations. Bartimaeus was saying, "I won't need this identity anymore. I'm about to receive my strength." He could have approached Jesus just as he was, but he demonstrated his expectations. You know, he could have walked with that coat on and then took it off when he was healed. But you know what? Expectation, believing, is receiving it before you see it. And what a great example. So it says, verse 51, "So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" I mean, think about that. Now, why would he say that? Because it's pretty obvious. He was a beggar, and he was blind. But he wanted to see what was he expecting. "The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Isn't that a tremendous story? It's such a short little section in the Word of God, but it's powerful because you see the history behind it and that his identity was removed because he had the expectation that he would be healed. We are all born into a sin-sick, cursed life of darkness, pain, and suffering. Only Jesus can free us from the bondage of sin and the curse of death itself. Only Jesus can truly change our identity. Don't allow sickness or lack to identify who you are. You are a beloved child of God. Bartimaeus recognized that his identity was about to change. He took action. So now he actually left with Jesus and followed him. If 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are a new creation in Christ when we are born again. Does your identity come from the old man of sin, doubt, fear, failure, weakness, pride, or darkness? Or does your identity come from a relationship with Christ in God's Word? And we have to see that. What state we're in at this moment, why are we there? Is it because we haven't brought our expectations to God, to what He wants for us? You know, in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, I'll paraphrase it, says, to put off or throw away that old man. So take that old man off of you, throw it away, burn it, and put on or dress up that new man in Christ. Mm-hmm. There's an action we have to take in building up our expectations to our identity of what God's called us to. Remember, He wants us to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And who are we? But we're children of the Most High God. We are blessed. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, and it heals our mortal bodies. Isn't that wonderful? We have been given a new coat, a new identity. The devil and the world may want to identify you with a beggar's coat, but in Christ, it's time to throw that off once and for all. Get into the Word of God today and dress up that new person in Christ that you are. We have been given a lively hope, expectation, and we want to identify with it. We take action on it and we stand faithful. Never quit expecting in the God of the possible. We don't call Him impossible because with God all things are possible, right? Don't quit expecting in the God of the possible. He is expecting to meet the desires of your heart. Expect bigger than ever before. Meet your Abba where His will is for your life. Right?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I wanted to share today. So, Heavenly Father, we are just so blessed to know what You expect of us, that You expect us to come boldly before Your throne of grace, to receive that identity of Christ, to be more than conquerors, to have all of our needs met, to rise above this world, to ask exceeding abundantly above all, that You grant us exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, that we call on You and You answer us, and You want Your plan for our lives is just beyond reality, but it's the reality of who we are in Christ that brings us to meet You, that our eyes are on You, Father, and that we just have so much to look forward to before Your Son returns. And I thank You that we all can just grow greater in our expectancy of Your Word and how much You love us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.